I'd ask you to please turn with me this evening to the Word of God in Psalm 119 as we're coming well over halfway now through the Psalm 119. We come to verse 113. Psalm 119, verse 113. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. You reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love your testimonies. My flesh trembles for fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgments. And the subject before us this evening as we consider this stanza is, how does a believer show respect for the Word of God? What are some of the ways that we can really show and demonstrate respect for the Word of God? And the first way that I would suggest to you this evening that comes out of this verse is by hating what God hates. By hating what God hates and loving what God loves. So the psalmist said, I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. Now, the double-minded here are those whose thinking has been destabilized. In the original, it means that their thinking is now unstable, and they are filled with vain thoughts motivated by pride. That is the understanding of the double-minded. Now, one of the surest signs of grace for us in our own life is to hate what God hates. And therefore the psalmist hates vain thoughts, a double-minded attitude. Pride, we know, is an abomination to God, and vanity does more than anything to damage a Christian's viewpoint, because it always results in a double-minded approach to life. Because it renders us without life or witness, light or witness. Vain thoughts always quench a spirit of humility. They cannot abide with each other. They are incompatible. Vain thoughts have the bitter fruit of destruction. They often plague us when seeking the Lord. Vain thoughts are the chief hindrance to prayer and to meditation, to liberty in worship. And the psalmist says, I hate the double-minded. I hate this this problem of the double mind. We need to cultivate a consistent hatred for the thoughts which beset us, which are proud and vain. It's a constant exercise in our lives. Note here that he did not say he was free from vain thoughts, but he hated them for what they were. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. I hate the vanity and the proud thoughts which have the fruit of an unstable and double mind. But I love your law. Now, we move then from hatred to love. And there's a direct contrast here. A commitment to hate and a commitment to love. I hate and I love. He hates what God hates, but he loves what God loves. The Puritan Stephen Charnock wrote once, we need to ballast their heart with a love to God. Ballast your heart with a love to God. And love for God is the great stabilizing influence upon our mind. And the psalmist does not say he kept the law perfectly, but simply that he loved the law of the Lord. And as we have seen before, that love is the key to obedience and a desire to follow the ways of the Lord. And we need to pray that the Lord would, in his mercy and grace, give us wisdom and discernment to understand the need to hate sin and to love the law of the Lord. And really, there are two developments we need in our life, and they run side by side together, and it comes out in this verse. We hate and we love. And we need to hate sin, and we need to love God's word. And both those attitudes should be developing in the believer, a growing hatred of pride and instability of the mind in terms of the double-minded man, double-minded attitude, and an increasing love for the law of God, the law of the Lord. So this is one of the ways that we show respect for God's word, by hating what God hates and loving what God loves. Secondly, a believer shows his respect or her respect for the word of God by running to the refuge and hoping in the word of God. So the psalmist says in verse 114, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." Note to hear the direction of the psalmist as he resists the problem of instability in vain thoughts, the instability of the double-minded attitude. He runs to the Lord. "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." It is to the Lord, with whom he has a personal relationship, that he flees when beset himself with vain thoughts. And in his spiritual experience, he finds the Lord invariably encourages him and assures him through his word. "I hope in your word. I find assurance in your word. I find comfort. I find refuge. I find protection." So he finds through the Lord, in his word, refuge, protection, assurance. God's glorious character. He is the sure and certain refuge. We read that God is a refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And he finds a refuge then in the glorious character of God, the sovereign power and grace of God, who provides his protection against the enemy of souls besetting his mind. And God's word provides his assurance and the weapon for by which he breaks through in resisting these vain thoughts, which bring about the double mind. "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." And so the Christian flies by faith to the person of Christ for refuge. "You are my hiding place and my shield." His righteousness is their shield. He is the personal, living, word of God to their souls. "You are my hiding place and my shield." And so this verse teaches us the first resort for the Christian, the first resort practice of the Christian, when we're in difficulties, when we're struggling in the mind, when we're struggling with all sorts of thoughts and this problem of the unstable mind, to love the law of God and run to the refuge place and hope in the word of God. Thirdly, how does a believer show his respect for the word? By separation from evildoers and loyalty to God's way. "Depart from me, you evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God." And so here the psalmist introduces us to the principle of separation. The same words will be used by the Lord Jesus in the New Testament to those who never really knew him or followed him. He said, "Depart from me, you evildoers. You have really no part or lot, as it were, in the matter." Separation, then, is a step that we must take for the honour of the Lord. if our relationships are compromising the truth. Now, the Christian uses their God-given discernment and makes an assessment of the situation. In the end, the paramount importance for us in any situation is loyalty to the Lord and his commandments. And separation is required from those who are bent upon evil, those that despise the name of the Lord. And the psalmist is actually telling those who oppose the walk with the Lord to depart from him. They are a hindrance. For I will keep the commandments of my God. You see, this is real courage here by the psalmist, because it is one thing for us to leave evildoers, but to tell the evildoers to leave us takes great courage. But we align with the commitment of the psalmist. I will keep the commandments of my God. The Puritan Thomas Manton said, "Depart from them that depart from God." So how does a believer show his respect for the word? By separation, and then by confidence in the word of the Lord with the accompanying lifestyle. So in verse 117 we read, verse 116, "Uphold me according to your word, that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope." It is good to see here the confidence of the psalmist and the confidence he has in the blessing of the word of the Lord in his life. "Uphold me according to your word, that I may live." My life is dependent upon God's word speaking to me, being a living word to me. He's not looking for a sign and a wonder to rest upon, but he's looking to be lifted up in his soul by the word of God. Now here is supreme confidence in the efficacy and power of the word of God attended by the Spirit to bless us. That a sure sign of true conversion is when spiritual life is the desire of our souls, when it is centered on the word of God. And another sure sign of conversion is when we realize our need to be upheld by the Lord. We recognize our dependence. I had a very aggressive email yesterday, and the particular person said, you know, when persecution comes, I will certainly stand firm, and I'm even ready to go to prison. And for my stand for the word of the Lord. And it reminded me how careful we need to be when we make big statements like that, because Peter made a statement just like that to the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus actually rebuked him because he actually was being self-confident. And here the psalmist is really teaching us against such an attitude. We want to follow the Lord, we want to obey him, and if need be, suffer for him. But we can only do that as we are upheld by God's word, upheld by God. The psalmist has just made a resolution to keep the commandments of the Lord. Remember, I will keep the commandments of my God. But directly he says that, he says, uphold me according to your word. And Spurgeon says on this that it is not wrong to make resolutions, but it is useless to do so unless we salt them well with believing Christ to God. David meant to keep the law of the Lord, but first he needed the law of the Lord, the Lord of the law, to keep him. David meant to keep the law of the Lord, but first he needed the Lord of the law to keep him. And so David teaches us so much about dependence. And then another sure sign of true conversion is when we realize our need to shine for the Lord. Do not let me be ashamed of my hope. Do not let me be ashamed or bring shame upon my hope. And then, how does a believer show his respect for the word? By dependence upon the Lord and loyalty to him. Hold me up, and I shall be safe, and I shall observe your statutes continually. So once again, the psalmist majors upon this utter dependence upon the Lord. Hold me up, and I know I shall be secure. And there are a number of ways in which the Lord upholds his people, which are chiefly centered upon his word. He holds them up through devotion times. He holds us up through preaching times. He holds us up through fellowship with the Lord's people. He holds us up through answers to prayer. He holds us up in trials. He holds us up in the ministration of angels. And we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But when we speak about the security of the Lord's people, it's not so much about the physical security, because God does allow his people to suffer tragedy and disease and accidents and disappointment, loss, and as we know in Sri Lanka, death. He does allow this. So it has more to do with the eternal security. Hold me up and I shall be safe. I shall be safe eternally, for all eternity. And my response to your security, my response to your love, is a desire to observe your statutes continually. The psalmist is saying to us that dependence on the Lord is vital for our obedience to the Lord. It is a partner to obedience. The word observe here has to do with respect of the Lord's statutes. And without respect to the Lord's statutes, there is no continuity in our life. I shall observe, I shall respect your statutes continually. And without respect for the word, we cannot hope to be consistent in obedience. Our observance of the Lord's statutes will be spasmodic at best. How does a believer show their respect for the word? By respect for the just judgment of the Lord. So verses 118 and 119, you reject all those who stray from your statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore, I love your testimonies. Now, Jesus reminded us in the New Testament that if salt loses its flavor, it is good for nothing but to be trodden down. In Psalm 119, we have hold me up. And in Psalm 118, we have in the AV, you have trodden down all those that stray from you. So there is this holding me up and you has trodden down. There's this contrast between God's dealings with those that depend upon him and ultimately God's judgment upon those that live their lives and die in rebellion against God. And here the deceit of those that are hypocritical here, for their deceit is falsehood, they will come under the judgment of the Lord because they have a man-made religion and they consider themselves wiser than the Lord. But they deceive themselves first, but then they deceive others, bringing upon themselves terrible judgment. I remember some years ago going to the funeral of a work colleague, who had passed away, and he was a printer like I was, and the vicar assured us that that our work colleague was drinking a pint in heaven now, and everybody had a good laugh about that, and it was considered to be very funny. And so the vicar relaxed the people and told them not to worry about eternity. Told them not to worry about this. You know, it's all going to turn out right in the end because God is a God of love. And this man had some good deeds and they were bound to have allowed him into heaven at last. And deceit is a terrible enemy to truth. And it has sent countless men and women to their eternal doom. And dross is a substance devoid of any good character. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. It's devoid of any good whatsoever. It can even look like the real thing. But when tested under the fire, it remains as dross. It does. There's no gold that comes forth from it. And a believer under the fiery trial also has dross. We have dross. I have dross. There's things in my own life that God has had to deal with daily, week by week. There's dross. But the difference between a believer and an unbeliever, a believer under the fiery trial will come forth as gold. And what happens is the dross separates from the gold spiritually. And there's a wonderful separation that takes place. And this is what God is doing. He's sifting us. He's allowing us to be sifted and tested that we might come forth as gold. But the unbeliever, in a similar trial, because they have problems as well, it's unsanctified to them. They remain untouched spiritually, or they get very angry with God. It's sad to say, spiritually, they went into that trial as dross, and they came out as dross. It's a very solemn and sad reflection on the unbeliever, and the Lord ultimately puts them away into eternal judgment. So the psalmist says, therefore I love your testimonies. What does he mean by this? You know, because these are very solemn words. You reject all those who stray from your statutes. Their dispute is falsehood. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. These are solemn words. They make us tremble. I mean, the Lord takes no delight in the death of the wicked. So if the Lord takes no delight in the death of the wicked, we certainly shouldn't have any bizarre satisfaction in rebellious people going to hell. It should sadden us. It should cause us grief, in a sense, because of their eternal doom. So this is really the context where the psalmist is saying, therefore I love your testimonies. I love your testimonies. When the psalmist speaks of this, he's speaking of the Lord's testimonies in the context of justice. What he's saying for us, and he's comforting the Lord's people, the Lord does not allow people to sin with impunity without them being finally accountable. Now, there are so many atrocities going on in this world as we speak. And the believer comes to this point where they love the way of God, the perfect, righteous, and just testimony of the Lord to deal with the wicked. We leave the wicked in God's hands. God is the judge. We're not the judge. God is the judge of all the wicked. And he will ensure that justice is done. The Lord said, judgment is mine. I will repay. And the believer rests in that knowledge and judges no man in and of themselves, but rests in the testimony of God's word of promise to those that trust in him and for God to do what is right according to his perfect testimony. And so we come by faith in a crazy world, in a mixed world, in a world which is deceived by so much dishonesty and hypocrisy in the church, the professing church. And it can be very disturbing when we read things that are being said now in the name of, even in the name of Christianity. Here we see then, how does a believer show his respect for the Word of God? In verse 120, my flesh trembles for fear of you, I'm afraid of your judgments. So, you see, the psalmist loves God's testimonies, but that doesn't mean that he's woolly about God's testimony. He's not sort of woolly about love. He's not, it's not sort of this fuzzy type of approach to the love of God that just got to say God loves you and everything's going to turn out all right. Because actually, his flesh trembles for fear of you. I'm afraid of your judgments. God is a God of love, but God is a God of justice. And it seems at first glance that the psalmist is saying exactly the opposite of what he has just said. He just said, I love your testimonies, but then he says, my flesh trembles for fear of you. But you see, he's just been given in his mind a glimpse of the dreadful judgment of the Lord upon the wicked. You put away all the wicked of the earth like dross. And it's like a sudden clap of thunder, and it shakes us and frightens us. And so a tiny glimpse of God's justice makes us tremble. We are told to rejoice and to tremble. This is sort of the harmony in the Christian's life. It's a strange harmony, isn't it? Rejoicing and trembling. But we rejoice at the wonderful assurance that we have in God through Jesus Christ and his word. But we tremble at the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the justice of God. So a godly fear is a healthy thing to be exercised, as long as its character is proven by greater faith in Christ. So we have this godly fear and this faith in Christ working in harmony together. We should be afraid of the judgments of God, but that should bring us into the refuge which is found in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So, how does a believer show their respect for the Word of God? Hating what God hates, loving what God loves, running to the refuge and hoping in the Word of the Lord, separating from evildoers, having loyalty to God's way, confidence in the Word of the Lord and accompanying lifestyle, dependence upon the Lord and loyalty to Him, and respect for the just judgment of the Lord. And a godly fear because of the awesome power of God and his judgments. So here are some just pointers really to how we might show respect for the Lord and for his word. And may the Lord help us to have that in exercise in our lives.